Ask the Dentist on Talk About. Brought to you in association with Bridge Place Dental Practice Tralee. Your smile, our expertise.
Now, Colm O'Loughlin from Bridge Place Dental here in Tralee has joined me in studio, and you're welcome, Colm.
Thanks very much, Deirdre. Good to be back. Thank you.
It is indeed, and you had a good summer, I hope.
Very good, thanks. Yeah, very good.
Are you busy at the moment now? Would September be a busy month?
We are, yeah. But we definitely saw a dip during the festival. I think a lot of Tralee people traditionally try to stay away from anything too organised with parking and so on. But no, we're kept going all the time. Yeah.
That's good.
It's a different sort of dynamic, different groups. Pick different times of year to get things done, so it just changes. Yeah,
very good. Well, listen, as always, there's no shortage of questions for you, so will we get down to business?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we'll start with one again, which we've had a good few times in various versions, but a listener says, my elderly father has a mouthful of pretty rotten teeth. It's starting to affect his confidence. He hasn't been to a dentist since he was a child, and he feels he's gone beyond the point of help. He says that if he goes to a dentist, they'll pull out all his teeth and make him get false ones, and he doesn't want that. What would Colm advise?
It is one we've come across before, and I suppose that older generation are probably accustomed to a very, I suppose, didactic approach by dentists and doctors and many other professionals they might engage with. I don't think the world really works that way anymore. Everything has to be a dialogue. We have to mutually agree the best way forward. And, you know, all we can do is give advice. And that advice might well include removing some of the teeth. But also, I definitely have noted a huge degree of fatalism in older people as well when they think their teeth are in trouble, which often isn't justified. And visually, teeth can look poor without necessarily being as poor as we think. You know, that's what you're coming to a professional for, is to assess the situation and give you your options. And yeah, some teeth might well need to be removed, but that has to be a consensual process. But a lot of things can be fixed that might in the past have been more, more easily taken out. Dentists might have not had the technology, the training, the skills, the equipment. A lot has changed, both in terms of our attitudes and in terms of the technology that we have. You know, I qualified in 2002, and I have no problem in saying that, you know, the Colm O'Loughlin who was practicing dentistry in 2002, in my eyes, would be completely obsolete even today, even in that 20-year period.
Dentistry is evolving. The thing
has moved on, absolutely. Yeah. But it's the approach and also the conversation that happens that's moved on, as well as the technology. So, you know, you can make a decision from a position of no information. So I think he should at least try to gain information about where he stands and what's going on. And then he can make the decision about what he wants to do next.
Yeah, so
it's not dentist-led anymore. It's patient-led.
So somebody like him could just go in, sit down, have a chat with you, have a look at him and say, well, look, here are your options.
These are your options. This is what I think you should do. But at the end of the day, you know, dentists aren't going to carry out unethical treatment. We're not going to sort of say, you know, if you say, please fill this, and we know that there's absolutely no possibility of that working, or worse, that may provoke an incident for you. You know, no dentist is really going to agree to do that. But there may be a variety of options, and some of them might be slightly suboptimal. But most dentists will be willing to look at it in the context of the age of the patient as well. And, you know, so what we might suggest for somebody in their 20s might differ from somebody in their 70s or 80s.
Just conscious of the fact that, you know, since we started doing this slot with you, we're getting questions like that a lot. And it's always elderly people, you know. And I wonder, was there a time in Ireland when we'll say that generation were children that dental care wasn't prioritised?
Oh, completely, yeah.
And are we now seeing the upshot of it?
To some extent, yeah. I mean, a lot of people of that generation probably would have had their teeth extracted and been given dentures, and those that didn't soldiered on, but, you know, with the knowledge that went on and the type of treatment, which, you know, I suppose it's wrong to say that all dentists in the past were like that. They definitely weren't. I mean, you know, I can look at my father, who was a dentist, and contemporaries of his, and they wouldn't have approached it from that point of view. But it's very, very difficult to unravel these stereotypes once they've been put in place. And it's almost a shared cultural narrative that, you know, that's what happens when you go to the dentist. But I think you'd have to go back in time a good bit to find it. But when it was wrong, it was very wrong, you know. There was a, but we find that in other aspects of our culture as well, you know. I mean, people got smacked by their teachers, you know, people got, you know, you know, various things happened that, people would be horrified and shocked by today. And it's the same in dentistry, like the approach has changed completely. But that generation definitely have a shared cultural experience that going to the dentist is going to be unpleasant, and probably you won't be given too many choices about what happens next when you do. And that's absolutely no longer the case, you know.
And it's like I say to Dr. Eamon Shanahan, who's here, when people send in questions about embarrassing illnesses, you've seen it all before anyway, so
absolutely,
this poor man...
And the number of times people have said to me, you know, this will be the worst one you've ever seen, and I just shake my head and I go, well, A, we're not here to judge. It's not, you know, sometimes I joke to people, you know, now you have to do 10 Hail Marys when you go home. They almost they almost feel like they're coming into confession. You know, it starts out like confession. It's like, it's been 10 years since I was last at the dentist, you know, it's been 2 years since my last confession. You know, it's not how it is, you know. You know, I'm interested in solutions, not problems.
Okay, so you won't be giving out to anybody.
No, yeah. No. And it's not my place.
Well, we've had the feedback from listeners over since you started doing the slot that you're very nice to people when they're in that position, and especially if they're a bit scared. So
yeah, true, but it's not just me. I mean, I wouldn't be alone in having that approach nowadays. Yeah, you know.
Okay, we'll move on. And we've a Listowel listener. She says, I've been teased about my protruding front teeth for my entire life. I'm now in my 50s and I'd like to do something about it. Is it too late? Would it take a long time, and what would be involved?
Yeah, it's definitely never too late. It's true to say that it can be more difficult to correct some of these things in patients as they get older. You know, the absolute ideal time to tackle that type of thing is in the teenage years. But in the real world, it's not always like that. People might not have had access to these things. They might not have been able to afford it when they were young. And they come to it as adults, you know, looking for solutions. You can absolutely move teeth in adults. It may take a little longer. The results that you can achieve may not be as good. If you treat a teenager effectively, you can achieve a virtually perfect result with modern techniques. But an adult can still get huge improvements. You know, you can go down the route of conventional braces, train tracks, but I use Invisalign. 50% of my patients are over 30, and we can treat you, absolutely. And there are answers. Treatment time is harder to pin down. You know, orthodontic treatment is bespoke. It's unique to each individual. So there's no real way to give an estimate of treatment time. But, you know, with the little information that I have, it's not going to happen in less than a year, for sure. But you'd be surprised what can be achieved in a year or 18 months. And most of the time we can get very respectable results in those timelines. And that's using Invisalign. Invisalign is a fully featured orthodontic tool. Now we can tackle the same things that traditionally people thought they needed train tracks for.
A listener says, I went to my dentist for a general checkup and was told I needed root canal done on a tooth, which was not causing any pain. However, after the root canal treatment, it is paining me. Is this normal, and what can I do?
Okay, that's a tricky one. Sometimes we identify issues with teeth when we take x-rays, and we may see something called a radiolucency. That's a kind of a see-through bit on the end of the root on the x-ray, and that indicates that the tooth may have died and that there is some latent chronic infection associated with it. The fear is that if you do nothing, then you're going to have issues. It's the kind of thing that will flare up on Christmas Day, or it'll flare up the day before your holidays. So your dentist may well recommend that you treat it. Extraction is one option. Root canal is the other, where you clean out the inside of the tooth. If it was a particularly persistent infection, then sometimes you wind up stirring up the hornet's nest. But sometimes, teeth are very sensitive structures, and you can have successfully completed root canal treatment, but there are still nerve endings around the tooth, in the jawbone around the tooth. And it can take time for that to settle. Our face, you know, the nerves supplying our face and our teeth and all these vital structures are what are called cranial nerves. These are nerves that originate in our brain, not in our spine. You know, they're hardwired straight to HQ. So that's why anything to do with dentistry and the head and face it can be, you know, tricky to deal with on a pain level. So I would say you need to talk to your dentist about it, get some reassurance. But sometimes it's time. It's okay. So, you know, if we're talking about within a week, a few weeks of the original treatment, it's not at all uncommon for it still to be uncomfortable. So sometimes, unfortunately, we have to allow healing time.
Okay. Listener says, Colm, how long does the process of implant denture take to do?
That'll vary from person to person, but there are some reasonably kind of predictable speed limits in it. So when we place a dental implant, it's a fixture. It's a screw. It's a fancy screw, but it's still a screw that's placed in your jaw. And your bone has to get solid. It has to get hard and solid around it and integrate it in with the jawbone. And that typically takes 12 weeks. At that stage, then, whatever is to be carried by the implant is produced, is manufactured. Dentures, unfortunately, can take a while to make, and there's quite a few stages. They're finicky things. So you're looking at perhaps 12 weeks for the implant to be ready to go, and then you may be looking at 6 to 12 weeks to make whatever is to go on top of it.
Okay, fair enough. We'll take a break at this stage. There's lots of questions for you, Colm, and we will be back in just a moment.
Ask the Dentist on Talk About. Brought to you in association with Bridge Place Dental Practice Tralee. Your smile, our expertise.
Now, Colm, this next listener very thoughtfully sent in a photograph with her question, which is unusual, but I suppose it does help you to give a more comprehensive answer. She sent you in a photograph of her 9-year-old daughter's tooth, and she's wondering, does it need to be pulled or will it fall out? It's slightly loose, and she's attached a picture. So you had a look at it in the ad break.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a really common situation, and I think lots of kids maybe are afraid of these things, and it's about a bit of encouragement. You definitely shouldn't need your dentist to take this one out. Just unfortunately, the other listeners haven't got the benefit of the picture, but it's a little baby tooth that's sort of sticking out in front of an adult tooth, with the child having lifted her lip for the photo. So if it was my daughter, she'd have tied some string around it and tied it to her little pellet gun and fired it and pulled it out that way.
That's novel.
Yeah. That was her solution to it. So I think just to, these teeth just get uncomfortable, I think, because every time the child eats or bites into something, it's going to wiggle it and pull at the gum a bit. So I think just to encourage it to be wiggled every day and pulled out. Your dentist can take it out for them. They don't always come out on their own. If the trajectory of the adult tooth is at variance with the baby tooth, then it's not going to push it out the last little bit. It's probably loosened it significantly, but not pushed it out fully. And that's the case in this photo. The adult tooth is going at a different angle to the baby tooth. So the only way it's coming out now is with a bit of encouragement.
Okay.
And I think, encourage your kids to do it. You know, when they're 8, 9, 10 years of age, they're usually tough out, and they just maybe need to get permission to give it a go,
Yeah, and mention the tooth fairy as well.
Financial incentives usually work.
Yeah, absolutely. A listener says her 36-year-old daughter hasn't been to a dentist since her teens. And now I'm gathering, reading between the lines, that there's some element of fear involved, because the question is, she's interested in the sedation, but she's wondering, will that cost a huge amount extra?
Yeah, there's a lot to say about sedation. Number one, not every dentist provides it. And number two, it's not appropriate to be using it the whole time. Though I know a lot of patients will sort of say, oh, just knock me out. If there was only some way I could be knocked out every time, that's fine. But, there are issues surrounding sedation, like you being out of commission for a day, needing an escort to come with you to mind you, a chaperone, all this type of thing. It does add expense. We offer sedation in two kind of categories at our practice. The first is that I provide, I'm licensed to provide dental sedation. That's great for more minor procedures or shorter procedures up to an hour. We have an anaesthetist who comes to the practice as well and provides what we call hospital grade sedation for more complex or more long drawn out procedures. But like, the reality is that the goal with sedation is to bring somebody around to a position whereby they no longer view dentistry as a threat, and that they can access regular care at up to a certain point anyway. So yes, we can do sedation, but we're not really supposed to be doing it for every single treatment that you do, where the idea is that we can get you over the line through your fears and then hopefully build a dialogue and build a relationship of trust where the patient will actually access dentistry, in a regular and, little and often way, rather than letting everything mount up and then having to tackle it. So the answer is yes, you can do sedation. Is it expensive? I suppose it is, really. It takes time to do. We have to block out our surgery. We have to take a lot of time to mind the patient when we do it. It's not a case of just whacking some drugs into them and away we go. We've monitoring systems to set up and so on for safety. So, you know, it'll add anywhere, depending on the duration and who's doing it, anywhere from 300 to 800 euros to the cost of your treatment to do sedation. It's very successful, but you know, you don't view it as our total solution.
Exactly. And, you know, after having a chat with the dentist and finding out what's involved with the filling or the extraction or whatever, you might say...
It's back to the first question, really. It's get information first.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And it won't be anywhere near as bad as you think.
Unlikely,
it might be.
Unlikely, yeah.
We'll move on, Colm, because we've a couple of questions that are along the same lines, really, and they're to do with stained teeth. One person wants to know, what can I use to remove a brown stain from my teeth? And related to that, separately, another person says, what could Colm recommend as a good toothpaste for a smoker whose teeth are starting to become stained and slightly yellow? And this is a woman in her 30s. So do you want to take those two together, maybe?
Yeah, they're the same thing, two ways, really. Yeah, so I suppose, first of all, two types of stain, extrinsic and intrinsic. Simply put, some stains are sitting on top of your teeth and some stains have gotten into the guts of your teeth, into the inside of your teeth. People may not realise, but your teeth are a little bit porous. And so your teeth can get discoloured from stains sitting on top of your teeth. That just needs to be cleaned off. You'd be surprised how tenacious it can be, and you may not be able to get it off yourself. You can have all your electric toothbrushes and bicarbonates and all these things and smoker's toothpaste. So once those stains get really bedded in, they're really hard to get off, and you will probably need some specialist equipment to get it off. That's so where your hygienist, your dental hygienist, or your dentist who does cleanings, if that's the case, comes in, and that can be got off. But then you have the stain that's gotten into the teeth, and that tends to be the smokers will tend to suffer from this. And as we get older, our teeth naturally darken as well due to certain changes within the teeth. And so you're looking at tooth whitening at that stage. You know, you're looking at something like bleaching your teeth. And the length of time it's going to take you to get a desired result is going to vary depending on what caused the stain and how much of it is there. There's no real easy fix over the counter. You know, like I say, if it's in the teeth, you can use some of these over the counter whitening gels. They're weaker than the ones that the dentist can prescribe. They may get you there in the end. There was a great trade in Crest whitening strips coming back from the States for years. There was a black market in those coming back in suitcases, and they worked quite well. But the regulations in the United States are different to Europe, so you can't get those here. They're not as strong. So you may have to talk to your dentist really to properly resolve it. And then after that, the toothpaste is not the biggest issue in staining. It's the quality of the brushing that you carry out yourself then that's going to maintain that over time.
A listener says, I'm just going to squeeze this one in because we're almost out of time, but she has noticed that the tooth between her eye tooth and her two front teeth has become discoloured, and she'd like to know if anything can be done with it. She doesn't have pain in that tooth.
It could be the same situation again. You're going to have to find out why is it dark. So teeth can darken because they've died. So it could have been traumatised, injured at some point in the past. It might have a large filling in it that's discoloured. It might need to be replaced. It also, if the tooth is standing a little bit behind the other teeth, it can pick up stain more easily. You'll have to get it looked at, but it's probably something you will not be able to fix yourself. So clean it up, bleach it, see where you are, and then there are other things that can be done then to put whiter surfacing on top of teeth after that. That's something that can only be evaluated, you know, in a consultation.
Down the line, exactly. Colm, we better leave it there, but just remind people again, Bridge Place Dental, if they want to phone, make an appointment, email, whatever.
Perfect. Yeah, that's it. So we're info@bridgeplace.ie, and it's 712-3315.